word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your sermon guide with you, I'd like for you to open it up there and turn into it. So just the sermon guide there. When we think as Christians what we're supposed to be doing in the sense of as a body of Christ, we feel a sense of alienation from God sometimes. Even as Christians that are mature, we feel a sense of distance. As we think about walking into the church, even though we're here today, we might feel away from God. Or when we begin losing our passion to be near God or to be near our brothers and sisters in Christ, this sense of where it's really hard, where it's work. And what do you do when that happens? And so today, as we look at our passage today, I want you to think about and remember our Christian privilege. And on that little diagram there, there's a diagram of what it means to be a Christian, that we've moved out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son, to the kingdom of light. And so when we think about that, what he's describing here is that we have a new confidence that we can come to Jesus and come to God with boldness, not based on what our record is, because Satan reminds us of many things that we don't do well, right? We don't pray enough. We don't do enough. We're not dedicated enough. All those things that Satan likes to remind us of. But we have a new confidence to come with boldness because we come based on Jesus' record, not our own. And that we have a new and living way, it's by the blood of Jesus. We have to remind ourselves and preach to ourselves that every day, that we come to God based on the blood of Jesus. Now you think about that when you feel like that you've not prayed enough or you've not done enough, and you're feeling like you just don't add up with God, that you can think about the blood of Christ, that we have a new family, we have a new confidence, a new and living way, and we have a new family. Notice what he says there in verse 19. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters. He's talking about the fact that we have a relationship with each other that's supernatural, that we become part of a family, that we're called out of the world and that we belong to a family, the family of God. And in your diagram, it's a little different than mine. There's some people on the left side and there's some people on the right side. And there's L's across the top of them, and that stands for Christ learners, that we are committed to learning more and more about Christ because we're always transforming. And so our confidence, our boldness, is grounded on the consciousness that our sins have been forgiven. And in verse 20, he says, by a new and living way opened up to us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, we may come boldly with loving confidence and not with slavish fear. You ever feel like your faith sometimes, I have to do these things? You know, I am being made to do these things. And you start to bow up your back a little bit. You kind of get an attitude of ingratitude. And so you start to feel a sense that you're being forced into it, to the relationship. That's where we're being moved by that's moving backwards, actually. We're moving into that law, relating to God through the law. Now, the law helps us. It reminds us that we can go to Christ. It's the school teacher that reminds us of how privileged we are. And that's what this little diagram is trying to depict. That we can come boldly, that we are a family, and that we have a great high priest in Jesus, which means he intercedes for us on our behalf. And so it's a new and living way up that's been opened up by the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Through his death. So the diagram in your sermon guide depicts what happens to a person when they repent and they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are transferred, the Bible talks about, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. The goal of Christian ministry, and this comes from the Vine Project. It's a video series, Matthias Media, but it's written by Colin Marshall and Tony Payne. Is to help each person, wherever they happen to be, to take a step to the right, to come towards maturity in Christ. That means by which God moves people to the right through proclamation of the word, through four things. Proclamation of the word, prayerful dependence upon the Holy Spirit, people, because God uses people as his agency. He's requested that we be his body, that we be the sharers of that word to other people. and that we persevere one day at a time, one step at a time, I should say. So the culture that we're wanting to build into the church is one of love, and it's one of which all saints see it as a privilege and a joy to be involved in the transforming of lives through Jesus Christ. We are all Christ learners, meaning we hope that all of God's people, each in their own perseverance in proclaiming the word in prayerful dependence on the Spirit, to help each other take a step to the right. Now, you just heard a proclamation of encouragement to stir one another on towards good works. Gene, I appreciate you doing that and getting up here. We need to have that in our church family to hear what the body has been doing. And I bet you there's a lot of people here that have had the church minister to them, whether they've gotten a card or a meal or stuff. And if you haven't, keep holding on. Keep going. Keep coming to us. Because people will come beside you if you're here. I believe that with all my heart, that this church is built on the love of God, and that the fruits of the Holy Spirit are here. And so as we see that happening, I want you to look at a video that's going to talk a little bit about being a ministry of the pew and not a ministry of the few. Let's roll it.
And this raises an interesting question. What is the place and function of church? If we can have access to God and sweet fellowship with Him through Jesus, anywhere and everywhere, well, let's take a step back and ask, what is church? As you probably know, the word church simply means gathering or assembly. Church is a get-together. But the Christian church, the Christian get-together, is a special one. It's a gathering of all the people who've been saved and given access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we get together as church, in one sense, simply because we're family. We all have the same Heavenly Father. We're brothers and sisters together in Christ. We get together like all families because we belong together. But we also get together because we need each other. And the author of Hebrews makes this point in the passage that you studied. Don't give up meeting together, he says, but keep on stirring one another up to love and good deeds. Keep on encouraging each other as you wait for the day for Jesus' return. Our passage in Corinthians as well makes this point very strongly. The one abiding and ultimate principle that should drive everything about church is love. Not love in the sense of I love ice cream or I love playing golf, but love as that constant attitude that seeks the good of others rather than myself. At church, our aim should be to love. That is to build others and to be built ourselves. And we do this out of love. Because love does not insist on its own way or press its own claims. Love is not obsessed with its own enjoyment or inconvenience. Love doesn't complain or grumble or stay at home in bed because it couldn't be bothered. Love seeks the good of the other. Patiently, kindly, truthfully, joyfully, constantly. Now in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul also makes clear that the way he wants the Corinthians to build one another in love is chiefly through how they speak, not in tongues that others don't understand, but in intelligible words that edify and build up, that bring the word of God to each other, what Paul calls prophecy. Now, more on this in the sessions to come, but for the moment, the basic point is very clear. Church is not about me. It's not about the experience I have or what I get out of it. Loving our church is not about how much I love it and enjoy it and like it. It's actually about how constantly and actively we all love our brothers and sisters who are there at church by seeking to build them up in Christ. Now, in many churches today, sadly, it's not really like this. There's a very small number of people who do the building work. That is, who speak God's word to others and encourage others and pray for others. And then there's a large majority who are the recipients, who just gratefully accept it or go along for the ride. It's the ministry of the few. But what we're talking about and what the New Testament talks about is the ministry of the pew, the ministry that we all do each Sunday as we all seek to build one another up in love. Is that how you think about going to church? as a time to minister to others, to love them, to build them? Or do you think about church quite differently? Have a talk about that.
Okay, let's have a talk about that. I'd like to talk like him. Maybe you could. Grades are coming in, right? These kids are out of school. I thought I'd read something a little funny here just to connect us a little bit, because when we're going to look at this, we're going to kind of evaluate ourselves. But one little boy, dad said, "Only thing I can say about these grades is that you certainly weren't cheating." And the boy said, explaining with enthusiasm, "I got a B in reading." His dad goes, "That's a D." A girl came home in January with a midwinter grade report, and their mother asked her, "What's the explanation?" The girl wasn't fazed by it. "But Mom, I did very well." "But you said yourself that everything gets marked way down after the holidays." And then there was a little boy. He was nervous about the grades, so he went up to his teacher and tapped her on the shoulder, and he said, "I don't want to scare you, Mrs. So-and-so, but my dad said if I don't do very well on my report card, somebody's going to get a spanking." Report cards kind of let us know how we're doing. And as we look at this, how are you doing? How am I doing as a person of Christ? Because one of the things that they said is that this has got to start here, personally, me. I have to be one who's willing to share the word of Christ in my marriage, in read the word of Christ in my private time. And so the thing starts with me. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. So as a Christ learner today, when we think about this, the Hebrew writers gives us five statements that we can look at and look at our faith at through his lens. The first one is, let us draw near. He says in verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance. Notice he goes back to that confidence thing that he talked about earlier, that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. He's talking about that image of in a man and a wife, that a husband is supposed to wash his wife in the word, and that to speak words. When we write cards at my home, we put a little note on it, and we usually have a Bible reference on it, or we find a card that has something biblical in it, and we do it intentionally, that we've tried to wash each other in the word, that it's the only thing that we can use and give to others that transforms lives. And so we try to do that. So let me ask you something this morning. Are you drawing near to God? Are you moving in your relationship with Christ closer? Three measures to check this is, are your hearts more in it? Are your minds more convinced? Are your lives more pure? As we think about ministering to each other in the Word, it's sometimes a very scary thing to think about. But as we think about what they're trying to say, when I say they are trying to say, that video that's trying to say, the ministry of the pew, that when we walk up to people, do we talk to them about the hockey game coming up, or do we talk to them about the Word of God? And so as we're here, we have a purpose to share the Word of God. Believers are transformed into the image of Christ as they build close personal relationships with the Lord and live a life more fully devoted to Him. Scripture gives us the means of developing intimacy with God. Worship, Bible study, and prayer, we talk about that as building intimacy. That's how we get close to God. And that worship, Bible study, and prayer should never be separated. That we worship God when we give attention to His Word. It witnesses to our spirit. It allows the Holy Spirit to move in. That prayerful dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And for witnessing to others, to let the word out. So that when we do share it with them, that we have trust in the Holy Spirit. So the first question is about our relationship with Christ. Are we moving closer? We may struggle with believing or trusting, but God tells us to draw near to Him and come to Him with full assurance. The same thing is said in James chapter 4, verse 8, to have confidence because our hearts are sprinkled, the inner man. Our hearts are sprinkled and our bodies are washed. That's the outer man. So as we think about this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The second thing is holding fast. Are you holding fast unswervingly? Verse 23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. What are we holding on to? We're holding on to hope. Hope in Christ. Hope in the promises of God. What loosens our grip? Not holding on to the promises of God. Wavering. Swerving. It says, hold on. It says, let us hold fast. Some of your Bibles say, let us hold unswervingly to the hope. Don't swerve. That's a good way of reminding us, isn't it? To hold on to the truth of God. Now let me show you how that works. Is that when the culture is pushing against us, you got to hold on to the things of God. And what do you do when a friend is struggling in their life and they say they want to live like this, but they know it's wrong? You hold on to the word of God, because that's the hope. You don't acquiesce or give credence to something where they say, well, I feel like God's a loving God, so he obviously must want me to do X, whatever X is. I've heard people say that they should get a divorce because they believe God wants them to be happy. Now, you're the pastor sitting there giving them counsel. You have to hold on to the truths of God without wavering, without swerving around it, because it's uncomfortable to tell them, no, I don't see any reason for your divorce. Now, there are exceptions in the Word of God. I could use that over and over again. But we hold on without wavering, without bending, it says, in the Authorized Version. Are we moving closer? Are we moving farther away from true beliefs and doctrine? Wavering is when we say that I don't know what the Bible says, but I feel this. Don't waver. Don't bend. Hold fast. For he who has promised is faithful. That's what he says. Why should we hold on? Because he who promised is faithful. Third thing, let us consider one another. Consider one another. Now, the reason why I wrote it like that is because, are you aware of other people? I mean, seriously, are you truthfully aware? Because it says in the Bible here, as you look at this passage, to let us consider other people. Let us consider one another. In verse 24, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So sometimes you have to be thinking about that before you do it, right? Paul Deacon, he didn't share this morning, but his CEO came in. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing it because he's out of the room. I can't get his permission. But his CEO was coming in, and he went around to his engineers, and he said, I want you to think about it. The guy that runs this company is coming in to see and talk to us, so get your elevator speech ready. And he said, what's five things that we're doing well, five affirmations, and five challenges that you see coming forward? That's pretty good. As Christians, do you have your elevator speech on? Do you have it ready to go if someone comes to you and needs you to pray for them and they tell you something? Are you ready for someone to share something that's on their heart that you could maybe offer a prayer, offer the ministry of the word? See? You see how that works? You go, just the ministry of the word. Just start slow. Start learning a verse, something that encourages you, and share it with other people. And you say, you know what? This encouraged me when I was going through this. I've been praying about this before I came. I was preparing to come to worship this morning, and apparently God wants you to hear it too. That's the ministry of the word. That's a proclamation of the word. You don't need to be a pastor to do that. And so the body of Christ, as it learns to do this, that we should consider other people. Consider others, being others aware. You've heard me talk about that. By looking to Jesus, we're able to do this. And it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Well, a proclamation was made this morning in front of you. The word to spur means to stimulate or to sharpen, to incite. It's a paroxysm in the Greek. Towards love and good deeds. When we think about considering others, which entails that we may not consider others or that we do think about others, we may fall onto the negative. Hence the statements are these. Consider these, because there's negative side of that when we think about other people. The Bible takes a negative in Galatians 5. It says, but if you bite and devour one another. I don't know if anybody got bit this morning. But when you bite one another, that's not a good thing. That's not spurring one another on towards love and good deeds, right? You know, we're compared to sheep, and a pastor was leading our guys around. He said, you know, sheep bite sometimes. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. How often have we heard churches consuming one another, devouring one another? He says, for this is the desires of the flesh against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. Of these, they're opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. We shouldn't lust for one another. We shouldn't judge one another. We shouldn't deprive one another. We shouldn't bite one another or devour one another, provoke one another, envying one another, lying to one another. Those are all the negatives, right? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be putting on the fruit of the Spirit. Through the Christ, through the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. It's in the same chapter, chapter 5 in Galatians. So how are you doing? How am I doing? Are we moving each other towards greater gospel service in love and good deeds? Are we stirring up and sharpening one another? We belong to one another. In Romans 12:10a, it says being devoted to one another, honoring one another, being the same mind towards one another, loving one another, accepting one another, instructing one another, greeting one another. Now, if you go back up to the top of your sermon guide, you see those pictures of the people that are still walking in darkness. So it takes perseverance, and it also takes prayerful dependence upon that, because you're moving people either. You want to move them to the right. You want to encourage them. Bearing with one another, being kind to one another, it's not easy sometimes when you're out there in that world, huh? When we're out there rubbing up against the people that we get bit every once in a while, right? And then you feel like not doing it anymore. Or you get something gets you frustrated and you're biting people. And he's saying, consider one another. So as we look at this little diagram here, we're to draw near. We're to hold unswervingly, hold fast. We're to consider one another. And then finally, we're to meet with one another. Let us not give up meeting, he says in verse 25, as some are in the habit of doing. And so we're not to give up meeting, which tells me that there's a temptation to give up meeting. You know, when he tells us to draw near, there's a temptation to not draw near to God, to kind of isolate. We move towards isolation instead of oneness with God. And so we have to be careful with that. We're to make sure that we keep meeting with one another. Why are we supposed to meet with one another? Look what it says there in chapter 10, verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we're to keep meeting with one another. When it comes to Christian living, we believe that God's justifying grace must not be separated from his sanctifying power and purpose. God commands us to love him supremely and others sacrificially. And to live out our faith with care for one another and compassion towards the poor and justice for the oppressed. And the fifth one finally is encourage one another. Let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. The ministry of the pew. So here's the three things to remember today, to take home. To live a lifestyle that blesses others. Give away the comfort that you have received. That's 2 Corinthians 1:4. and listen to others. In Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man or a woman of God of understanding will draw it out. I find that verse fascinating. That the purpose in a man or woman's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding, a man or woman of understanding, a godly person will draw it out. That takes intentionality, doesn't it? It takes a prayerful dependence to pray and ask God for help, to lay upon your heart the needs of other people, to be willing to spend time in listening to them and valuing their existence. Praying for the person. So here's the challenge. Why don't you pray for the person next to you, wherever they may be? Not right now, but when you go home today. And see if by your word and example, you can encourage them to take one step, even one small step to the right, towards Christ, towards the kingdom, towards building in love. How do you encourage one another? Well, let me share with you an illustration. President and CEO, COO, I should say, Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A was asked, what's the secret behind the Cathy family success? Speaking to a packed auditorium at SAS headquarters in Cary, North Carolina, Cathy shared the company's approach and summed up their corporate purpose statement: to glorify God by being faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with Chick-fil-A. In keeping with the statement, the employees at Chick-fil-A are taught a lesson that we should sit up and pay attention to. Every life has a story. And often our customers and our employees need a little grace and a little space when you deal with them because they are either experiencing a problem, just finished having a problem, or about to have one, said Cathy. The word restaurant means a place of restoration, and we think of Chick-fil-A as an oasis where people can be restored. We strive to treat people better than the place down the street. One way we do that is by remembering that we're all people with a lot of emotional things going on that don't necessarily show up on the surface. So we try to offer amenities and kindness and minister to the heart, he said. You see, behind those chicken sandwiches and French fries, there's a vision, a preferred vision. It's bigger than ourselves. It's bigger than Chick-fil-A. It's a divine purpose to glorify God, to be salt and light. To think about the privileges that you have been given and then put it into practice so that God may be glorified and that we are working for the good of others. Let's pray. Father God, help us in these moments to remember that there's a few minutes going to happen after the service here. Lord, help us to look for practical ways that we can serve one another, get a coffee for someone, take a new person beside you and learn about them, to hear them, to ask them about their family, their occupation, their recreation, and then pray for them as you think about them through the week. Lord, help us to be looking for opportunities to help someone with the ministry of the word, to be persevering in proclaiming it, to practice the ministry of the pew instead of the ministry of the few. Lord, as we've been given this opportunity, as the privilege of coming before you now because of Christ, we have an opportunity to share the words of Christ. We have an opportunity to be an example and illustrate the work of Christ, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to allow others to see us singing the songs and hearing our voice lifted up, to see us as we pay attention to God, the Father. Lord, help us to think about all these things as we think about the ministry of the pew and not the ministry of the few, to turn our eyes not inward but outward and upward. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.